Welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. You know, one thing that is constant in life is there will always be change. And changes could be buying or selling a home, the loss of a loved one, marriage, divorce, it goes on. But when you find yourself on a new path, whether planned or unexpected, what you know is home is shaken or shattered. So this is clear. How you process a change will impact the trajectory of your life. Moving Forward for Life with Rosita starts now. Hi, and welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. I'm Rosita, your discovery coach and realtor, and I partner with you so that you can find your way home, whether that's a physical home or the home in you. You choose the trajectory of your life. You have a choice. Today, I'm excited because we have a returning guest. He's been here before. He was here before the market shifted. So now we're having a conversation for after the market has shifted. His name is Paige Sturgeon, and he has over 25 years of experience. He is the co-owner and licensed broker of Granite Mortgage. He graduated from CSU Fullerton with a degree in international finance. He was born and raised here in San Diego. That's kind of different. There's not a lot of us here.
That's true.
His goal and desire is to ensure that the home loan process and the home buying process is a smooth and positive experience for his clients. And I can attest to it that that's what happens. I send clients to him all the time, and he's always on top of his game. He's super helpful. He walks with each of my clients to the degree where they feel comfortable asking any kind of question. And so once they get into their home, they are knowledgeable about what they're paying. They're comfortable. There's no buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. And so I invited Paige back because we all know the market started shifting in, I think, May, right, Paige?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think I started to feel it a little bit in March of this year, when the Fed started their rate increases, right? And so it's taken a few months for that to actually, you know, hit the market, so to speak. Because still, even at the beginning of the year, the market was in a frenzy. Rates were still pretty low, around 3%. And you were getting multiple offers on almost every listing. You had to, you know, put a bid in for the asking price just to get it. And so for the first time...
If
you got it, yeah. And then there's a lot of things that the buyers had to do. They had to waive appraisal contingencies, sometimes loan contingencies, and it was very difficult. The sellers were calling all the shots, right?
Right.
So, you know, fast forward, you know, even what is this, like 5 months later, it's definitely slowed down because, you know, basically each month the Fed has been aggressive and getting inflation, you know, cooling it off a little bit because it's been a historic inflation rate of like 9.1% was back in June. It's the highest it's been in 41 years, right? So the Fed has put their foot on the gas pedal a little bit because it wasn't healthy. It was, the market was not rational, and they're trying to get inflation at bay and also cool off the real estate market. You can also see in the stock market as well, right? Everything was kind of overinflated because COVID exacerbated that. And now I think we're moving in more of a healthy market. But it's a really good time, actually, where things are changing. There's a lot of opportunities, too. I think it's probably in the last couple of years, probably the best time, even though rates are higher, the best time for a buyer to buy because there's less competition. And then now you can negotiate stuff, right, Rosita? You can
actually it's a whole different market. Before, right. Like Paige was saying, the COVID market was a seller's dream. They could ask for essentially whatever price they wanted to ask. They could, like Paige said, have the buyers waive the appraisal, and buyers were buying houses over the
as value. Is, no repairs, nothing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or even above the appraised value.
That's right. That's
it was crazy, but the interest rates were low.
Yep.
And the inventory was low. Now the interest rates have increased. Inventory is slightly increasing, but the prices are adjusting.
yeah, it's starting to level off a little bit, right? You're starting to see that, and not everything's going for full price. So you can negotiate a little bit about price and terms. Like I'm even seeing, and I don't know you too, Rosita, that sellers are willing to pay closing costs now of the buyers to get in, or even pay down points to buy the rate down so the buyer can get a lower payment. So that hasn't happened in years. So with this changing landscape, there's still a lot of opportunities. There's, because before, first-time home buyers were getting beat out by people putting 50% down, 20% down. Waiving appraisal, can first-time home buyers can't do that. Yeah. That's just not putting them in a position for success. Now, these people that weren't, now are kind of coming back in, even though their payment's higher, still got to afford it, okay? They're now being able to get a house. And so it is picking up in the first-time home buyer kind of segment. And I'm seeing other buyers that were on the sidelines are now starting to come out, because I don't think rates are done yet going up. They actually got a little bit better. This is how counterintuitive the market is, because it's very emotional. So when the Fed raised it 0.75 point this last meeting into July, because the Fed's stance about future rate hikes was what they call dovish, not as aggressive, the rates actually got better when they raised it 0.75. So how counterintuitive
is that? Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's start with the interest rate. So I know that you mentioned to me that the Federal Reserve Bank is going to raise the rates even higher. Where are they at today? And where do you think that they're going to be projected? Sure. You know, because that could change at any moment.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, obviously it depends on credit score, depends on loan amount, and it depends on type of loan. But right now they're in the high fours, okay?
Oh, really?
For conforming, okay, in government. So conforming, then FHA, VA, conventional, you know, high fours. If you go into what we call the high balance category, which is just above conforming in San Diego, the high balance is different than the rest of the country. It's $879,750. So let's just say 880 to be safe, right? Somewhere around 880. So in that tier, the rates are a little bit higher in the low fives. You know, and then if you go above 880, I'm just rounding, keep it simple, in San Diego, then you're a jumbo or non-conforming loan, which those rates are at least a half a percent higher. Okay. So, so they'd be in the high fives. So again, if we go all the way back, you know, beginning of the year, end of the year, they're around 3%. So you can see that's a pretty big move, right? In a short period of time. And I think
to six.
They did. And that's why I said they just got a little bit better, because they're expecting the 0.75 is what everybody was expecting, right? And then because the Fed was a little bit less aggressive in their stance about raising for the rest of the year, they said we're maybe not going to have to raise as much and as often, right? So whatever, it's very generic, but because they were not as aggressive as they've been the last few months, the market actually got a little bit better, because they're afraid they're going to say, yep, we got to go again 0.75 and 0.75 for the next to the end of the year. And they didn't do that. So they're a little bit more cautious, right, in what they said, and a little bit more conservative and not as aggressive. And so the market actually rallied. Now, what happened this week, so they got really good into last week because of that, and Monday. But then on Tuesday, once Pelosi went to Taiwan and China was threatening, you know, military actions, that the market, then the rates moved a little bit because of the uncertainty. Now, because she left, you know, Taiwan now, we'll see how China reacts, and it could come back a little bit. So it lost a little bit of the gain. That means they came down a little bit and went back up a little bit because of the tension with China. So again, that's how fickle and emotional the markets can be.
And so that really, everything else going on with the world definitely affects the interest rates. And absolutely. I think a lot of buyers that are just coming into the market, they're like, why does it keep going up? You know, it's because, like you say, it all ties into unemployment.
Yes, it
what's
does.
What's going on in the world.
Inflation, right?
Inflation, everything.
All those economic indicators are very important. So, you know, and I think for the rest of the year, they're going to continue to go up, but I think they're going to be at a slower pace and not as much. They could get in the mid fives, maybe close to six. And I think they'll hover around that. Okay. And that's something weird in the world happens. Right. So, but I still think it's a really good, I mean, if you look historically, I mean, I've been doing mortgages since 1994. Okay. I think it was the late 90s. I think the highest loan that I ever locked was 8.75. So historically, and then my parents in 79, 80, 18 to 20%.
Right.
So we're a little spoiled, especially the millennials and the Gen Zers, because they don't know how inflation and all those things affected us in the 70s and historically. So we're a little spoiled because of COVID, see, but they should be anyways. If COVID didn't happen, rates would be in the 4 or 5s anyways. So it just happened because it was such a change so fast, so quickly, then a lot of people kind of said, oh, pause, stop. I'm going to, put it on hold for now. But I'm starting to see people calling me and saying, hey, what's it look like now? Because I'm starting to see prices come down and now I can negotiate price. I can negotiate some terms, and people are now getting into homes where they got kind of, the last 2 years got kind of X'd out. So Yeah.
Well, that's good news. So
it's good news, positive. You always have to look for the silver lining, right? There's always opportunities, no matter what situation, just what opportunities are there to see if it makes sense for you, right?
Well, and because of the fluctuations in the interest rates, people are like, okay, I'll just wait till it goes down even more. Do you anticipate that it will go back to the COVID interest rates where it was 3%?
That's a really, really good question. I don't think they're going to get back to that low unless something weird happens with another pandemic, right? Where we get this, variant that's very aggressive and then they start shutting things down again. I don't think that will happen. I think we're past that, but who knows, right? But I don't think that they're going to go all the way back down in the 2s, but I do think we are going to get a correction because the Fed right now is they're trying to get it inflation in check to 2 to 4%. And then once they do that, they're going to find an equilibrium with rates. And I think if they're ramping it up high and then when things settle down, they get what they want, they're going to slowly taper it back down. So what we're predicting, some of the banks I'm working with and some of the economic pundits in the mortgage world, they're saying we're going to have another refi boom in the next year or two. So all these people that bought in the next year or two, they think rates are going to click back once that the Fed gets that under control and we get out of the COVID protocols, that the rates will click back and there'll be an opportunity to refinance, lower your payments and do that type of thing. That's what a lot of experts are saying that I've been reading lately. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. So there's hope in that. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. So the refi market is going to be good if you're looking to refi. Mm-hmm. And so let's touch upon that a little bit, because you and I mm-hmm. talked about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. The scenario I gave you was that a house is paid for.
Yeah.
Now they want to refi. However, you have to have the income.
You have to qualify, just like when you buy. Unfortunately, just because you have a lot of equity and good credit, that's great, but you still have to do the income to debt ratio test. So a lot of my people that are retired and they just get Social Security or Social Security and a small pension, it's difficult to get a traditional loan. Now, there are other loan products out there you can get. It's called asset depletion, but you have to have a lot of money. You have to have like a million or 1.2. And then we take a percentage of those assets and we'll give you income, a very conservative ratio. Okay. So if you have $120,000 in the bank, then you still won't qualify because they're going to be very conservative in how much income that can generate. So if you have a lot of cash, not a lot of income. Uh-huh. That's a creative way, an asset depletion loan. There's also, believe it or not, if you're elderly, I think over 55, you can get a reverse mortgage. There's another way if you're elderly and don't have a lot of income, because it's not based on income. It's based on age and equity in the property. So you can get a reverse mortgage and pull money out that way, because a lot of people have a lot of equity that are older. Okay. But they don't have the monthly income. So there's different loan products to get to your goal, just depending on your situation. And that's what I help. I'm a mortgage planner. I don't just say I'm a mortgage broker or a loan officer. I'm a mortgage planner because the different seasons in your life, you can use your house as an asset, right? So, and obviously if you're 30, it's going to be maybe a little bit different than if you're 80. Okay. And so, and everything in between. So that's my job, is to find out what your goal is. And based on your situation, navigate all the lending guidelines to figure out what's loans the best for your situation. And it's a puzzle. So I just get the pieces of the puzzle, put them together and go, hey, here's the strengths, the weaknesses. Here's probably the best way to achieve your goal. Okay.
So if someone wanted to prepare to refi, in the next month or two, what would you say to them to get them prepared to come to you? Or is the first thing to come talk to you?
The first thing is to talk to me, because it depends on what their goal is. So there's many people refi for many reasons, right? One of the reasons is, hey, just to lower my rate, lower my payment. You know, another reason to refi is because I want to get rid of my mortgage insurance. Hey, can we get a lower rate and get rid of my PMI, my private mortgage insurance? You know, other people want to do a refinance to pull cash out to pay off all their bills.
Or maybe the HERO. Remember the HERO?
Yes. Yeah. Or buy solar, right? Get solar home improvements. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or, you know, a lot of people during COVID, they wanted to redo the kitchen, build an ADU, accessory dwelling unit, you know, so they can get that income, you know, or build an office or convert a garage. So they don't have the money. They want to use their equity of their house to go do that. So my job is to figure out, is it better to refinance your first, or is it better to get a second mortgage, HELOC, we call it, home equity line of credit. So there's all depending on how much money you want, how much equity you have, on what that answer is. And that's what I help people figure out.
Okay. Now, let's just take it a step further on the HELOC. Is that similar to getting a refi?
No, it's actually a separate loan. So let's say, for example, I'm getting a lot of calls on this. Let's say I refied you a year ago, Rosita, and I got you at 2.5% on a 30-year fixed. Now it might be 4.875. You know what I mean? Because you want to redo the kitchen and the baths, and you need $50,000. Okay, but why would we refi for $50,000 to move your rate from 2.5% to 4.875? You only need $50,000. So let's leave your first in place and let's do a second mortgage behind it, HELOC. Second HELOC, which stands for Home Equity Line of Credit. What it is basically a second mortgage that's like a credit card on your house. You use it as you need it. So if you only need $30,000, you're not going to be charged on the $50,000. You're only charged on what you use. So your credit limit would be $50,000. Whatever you use up to that $50,000 is what you pay interest on. Now, those rates are higher. It's around, prime right now is 5.5%. All the HELOCs are tied to the prime lending rate. That's what the Fed is adjusting. When they change the rates, it directly affects the prime. Okay. So those rates are higher, but it's only on $50,000. So why would I want to take, let's say you had a $300,000 first and then $50,000, $350,000 loan at a lot higher rate when you still keep the majority of your money on a cheaper rate and only do the $50,000 at a little higher rate second? It's like a puzzle. You have to do the numbers and do the math to see how much it's going to save the client. What's the best scenario?
And just because, let's say, my neighbor down the street got an interest rate at 3%, that doesn't mean that another person can get the same interest rate, because everything is different. It's like a fingerprint, right?
Because your neighbor might have a different credit score than you. They might have a different equity position than you. They might be doing a VA loan because he was in the military previously, where you weren't, you're getting a conventional loan. So that's why when people say, oh, my neighbor, my mom, my dad, it's not always apples to apples, because you don't know maybe their credit score, what exactly type of loan they got, you know, what type of refi, did they do cash out or rate in term? There's different things that we have to talk through it to figure out, you know, what neighbor has or doesn't matter. Right. So
that's a great option for us baby boomers, is the HELOC, right, or the refi.
Yes.
So get prepared and make a call to Paige. We'll give you guys the contact info by the end of the program. The other thing is, what do you suggest to buyers? Is it a good time to sell? Okay, to buy? Sorry.
Yeah. I think it's a really good time to buy. What I try to do, I would probably say, Rosita, a lot of the buyers, 50% of them are maybe ready to buy because they don't know all the rules and what entails, right? Because buying a home is different than any other process of you purchasing anything else, like buying a car, buying, you know, just any type of household furniture or whatever. It's pretty easy to get financing or get approved for the most part if you have good credit.
Yeah.
For a house, we're going to dot every I, we're going to cross every T, we're going to dig into all your personal finances. So we're going to ask for tax returns and W-2s and pay stubs and bank statements. And if you're divorced, your divorce decree. If you've had a bankruptcy, your bankruptcy papers, all those things, because it's so much more money than a car usually and credit cards, that they're going to check everything because they want to make sure that they're going to be able to get their payment every month on time. So the biggest thing is to see where you're at. So wherever, when I talk to my clients, it's like, if your goal is to buy a home, let's meet and I'll have you bring in these documents and we'll see where you're at. And if you're not ready, we'll get a game plan together, right? Because it's a puzzle. And I'll tell you your strengths and your weaknesses and what we need to do to get ready. So, and a lot of people appreciate that. It's free. There's no charge for that. Just my time. I enjoy it because then I become the teacher. I become the coach and I become a counselor. And I love that. I love to teach people new things.
And you're really good at it.
Yeah. And it's a team effort, you know, because it's a big deal. And people want to buy a house. It's a dream of them to own something and not rent.
Yeah.
So I love being a part of that. So.
It's kind of because the rents are still increasing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing I ask people, what are you paying in rent? They're saying $3,000 a month. Well, hey, you might have to pay a little bit more to own a house, but you own it and you get the tax deductibility of the interest. You don't have to worry about your landlord not fixing things, you know, and you can.
And you're getting equity.
Exactly. It's an investment. So that's why I get them to think too, not only that it's your home, but it's a future investment.
Right.
For your family and your future. Right. You know,
it's a great time to buy because the interest rates are still relatively low. I mean, 4%, 5%. It's still, if you can get into a home right now, I would suggest you get into it. You don't have to deal with the bidding wars anymore.
You don't.
No, you have more options in terms of negotiating with the sellers. And for sellers, Paige, transitioning, so they have to sell their home and then buy another. You have a loan product for that as well, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of them now, before, during the pandemic, it was very hard, what we call, you know, a contingency sale, right? So that means it's contingent. If you're going to go buy another house, you're selling your house at the same time. It's contingent upon the sale of your home to buy the new one, because you need the cash and the equity from this one. So a lot of the times, if there's multiple offers, the seller wouldn't take your offer because they run the risk of, what if your buyer backs out? What if your buyer can't get a loan? And they just wasted 30, 45, 60 days in escrow. And so a lot of the sellers wouldn't even look at a contingent offer. Now they will. Now they will, because there's not as many offers. There's not as many buyers knocking on their door to make an offer. So before, I mean, you'd have to get creative. Sometimes a gift from a family member, or sometimes liquidate a retirement account or investment account. And then you would pay yourself back once you sold your home the new seller wouldn't take your offer because they wanted to wait on your home to sell, right? So you had to get more creative and get gifts and other things to do that. Now you don't as much. Now you're seeing sellers take contingent offers again, which is normal. It's healthy. That's typical. And they'll say, hey, they'll just write certain, as you know, contingencies, like, hey, we won't, within 15 days of, you know, in escrow, we want to make sure you remove those contingencies because the buyer should have their loan, the appraisal done, inspections and those type of things. But you're seeing more of a normal market now where contingencies are getting accepted now. Okay.
And so if a buyer, say they get qualified, I'm just throwing a number out there, for $700,000.
Yep.
But they want to buy a house at 750. Okay. Would you suggest for them to come in with that 50K from their 401k or buy down points? Like, what would be a good scenario if they want to go higher than the amount they're qualified for?
Yeah, sometimes it's as easy as bringing in the extra cash if they have a gift. Or what a lot of people do is they don't save as much monthly from their paychecks and put it in savings, for example. But a lot of people save through their retirement. So, but a lot of people do, let's say you have $100,000 in retirement. Most 401k providers will let you take a loan for 50% of whatever the balance is, the vested balance. Okay. And so if it's $100,000, right, in there, you can probably get a loan for $50,000 from the 401k. We don't look at, in the lending world, when you get a mortgage, we don't look at it as a loan though, because you're borrowing from yourself. So the bank, that loan's exempt as far as calculating a debt to income ratio hit on the in qualifying. We don't count that against them because you're borrowing from your own money that you saved. So that's popular. But one other way is maybe we pay down a car. Maybe we pay off a certain debt with, maybe it's only $5,000 of paying debt off to get you that extra $50,000 in buying power. So I look at what their debts are now. We come up with a plan like, hey, if you want to raise what you qualify for, because your pay is your pay, unless you're going to get a promotion or a raise,
right,
that doesn't change. But the debt we can change by paying things down or off to then boost you up in another level, a higher sales price. So we look at that as well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Paige, you know what? We are like 2 minutes out of closing out our show. This time went so quick. You're such a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. And how can people connect with you? How can they call you?
Yeah, the best way is on my cell. You can text me or call me at 619-888-7243 is the best way to get me. Or email me. My first name, Paige, P-A-I-G-E, at Granite, like the rock, G-R-A-N-I-T-E. Then mortgage spelled out .net.
Okay. And remember, you can contact him just to see where you're at.
Exactly. Just to see where you're at. It's free. It's always good to just start the process and see where you're at. And then what we'll do is we'll set a game plan together to see where you're at, see if now's the time or if we need to work on a few things to get you ready. So do it all the time. And I love doing it. So.
Oh, and he's really good. I've had my sister actually went through him and bought mm-hmm. a house a year later, was very comfortable, nothing but praise for mm-hmm. Paige. That was almost a tongue twister. Praise for Paige.
That's a good
relationship.
That's good stuff.
Anyway, anytime you want to get in contact with Paige, please call him. He's a great coach to help you get to the goal of finding your home. We are closing out right now. I want to encourage you to schedule a free 30-minute complimentary call with me. I've got a signature program coming up called Discover the Beauty in You. There's so much to talk about with that. So please give me a call at 619-665-9086. As always, my desire is to bring awareness, let you know that you are not alone, and partner with you to navigate your path as you move forward to the life you desire. We'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. Through my own personal healing journey, I've come out stronger and braver. I know firsthand how hard, how lonely, and heartbreaking it is to continually live in pain. As we work together, you will discover the good, the bad, and the not so pretty parts of yourself so you can uncover the fabulous in you. Discover what you need to come home, whether that's a physical home or the home in you. Join me every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.